The boomsticky 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 sticker, the boogie flipper. The windshield wiper for your ear master, the cap and crunch that will steer you from disaster. You got too many cracks on your wall, you need plaster. Get with the program. You drinking 30-year-old root beer Shaster, you think I'm lying? Stop trying. Pay attention and you could go far if you stay tuned to the end, the P and the motherfucking R.
Right, y'all. Welcome again to actually the third episode of Nestorius Public Radio. We're in January. What's today? The 23rd. Mm-hmm. That's right. Hell yeah, boy. Today's show is going to be awesome. This is my first show where I interview somebody in the studio. I haven't done that yet in 2014. I've done it a couple of times before, but the idea will be to interview someone who has a regular job or some sort of a career or something that none of you motherfuckers are doing because you're at home in your underwear. You haven't purchased milk in about 20 years and you ain't paying your phone bill. So just people who you know, you might be interested one day when you get your shit together to say, man, maybe I could do that sometime. So today my guest is a psychic. Not unlike any of the psychics that you may have thought about or were brought up knowing about, but she's a legitimate psychic, and she's also a host on one of the shows here on SkidRowStudios.com, Chris Cahill.
Why, hello. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you.
It's so nice to be here.
Thank you for having. Thank you for being my guest on the show. It's awesome.
You're welcome.
I've always wanted to have you on the show. And to Chris's right is none other than the other brother with the somewhat red hair, Rich Corbin.
Yeah, what's left of it. What's up, everybody? What's going on? It's more flesh tone hair now these
your
days.
Your hair ain't red, man, in comparison to Chris.
Oh, no,
Chris's hair is fucking
hers
red.
Is red. Mine was red like that when I was younger.
Chris's hair is fire, man. Your shit is like, now yours is looking brown next to that. But so I wanted to, you know what? I have I wanted to play this clip. I know most people, when they think of a psychic, and I know I showed you this, when we were outside, most people think of Miss Cleo or Dionne Warwick and her psychic networks. It's this wacky shit. We all have our own interpretations, our own versions of it. So, you know, when I first came to SkidRowStudios.com, I remember specifically your show was one of the shows that I walked in on. You were saying something, and you may not remember this, but you were saying something in about maybe talking to somebody on the air, because Chris has live callers come in, call in, and you give them readings and stuff like that. But you may have been talking to somebody, or maybe you were just talking to your general audience, and you were saying something about, and then when a guy walks in, and I just happened to be walking in, I looked at you and I went, me? Like me? Like me? I don't know if you remember this. This is like, I don't know, like this is in maybe February or March, because my show is, I started in April.
Right.
Like around April 15th, around tax time last year. But anyway, so, you know, when I didn't know anything about you and I didn't know what psychic meant, you know what I mean? But we'll get into that in a second. Let me just play this Miss Cleo commercial that we all know. Y'all know. Call me now. Call me now. You want a reading? You call 1-800-311-1412. Me now, you bomba clad.
I loved her headgear on that.
She had headgear. First of all,
she had the best hat.
Bitch wasn't even Jamaican. She lived in Brooklyn. She was just a fucking African American woman with an accent. She's like, Cleo can save your life. Anyway, here we go.
I did. Find out what I see for you. Call me now for a free tarot reading.
Call 1-800-311-1412.
What's all this arguing going on that I see by the five of wands? I'm looking at five people.
Correct. Oh, my goodness. My mother, my two uncles, my cousin, and myself.
He will get frustrated and tired with this, honey.
He told me that.
Well, because you have sex with your eyes closed. You're scared to death, Mama.
Oh, man, you have hit the nail on the head perfectly.
What question would you ask me in your free tarot reading?
Miss Cleo, you are the best.
Call 1-800-311-1412.
Don't call that number because that number is fucking defunct. Anyway, so then Mad TV did a skit on Miss Cleo where one of the characters, Leona Campbell, calls Miss Cleo. And it is hilarious.
Hello, is this Cleo?
Yes, baby, it is.
What, you're the one that can see into the future?
Yes, darling, you got the right Cleo.
Oh, honey, can I ask you a question?
One.
Was you working on September the 10th?
Well, yes.
Really? You didn't see anything strange gonna happen on that next day?
No.
Nothing you could go on TV and maybe warn people about? Was you working September of the 9th? And maybe you got a message from the spirits saying something like, hey, Cleo, get your American flag while they still cheat.
No, darling, no.
But that's a big thing for them to miss, isn't it? Well, honey, Jeff, what about on September the 8th? Do you remember getting any psychic messages like, 3 more days till Gary Condon ain't in the headlines?
Caller, dear, listen to me, caller.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, the psychic world and the spiritual world can be very, very tricky, okay?
Oh.
And I didn't think to ask about that kind of information, you see.
That'd be the first thing I'd ask every day, you know, just in case. I'd say, spirits, any historical tragedies coming up soon?
That's hilarious. I mean, That's fucking hilarious. So, you know, I had to, you know... Well, I remember Miss Cleo. You know, this is the 90s. And I take it everyone remembers Miss Cleo, right?
Oh, yeah.
Especially people in your area.
I kind of ignored Miss Cleo,
to be
honest.
Of course you did.
I was never attracted to her, but...
Yeah, of course you did. So anyway, so why don't we just start with you? You're from Chicago.
I am originally born and raised in Chicago. Lived there most of my life.
Most of your life. When did you come out to California?
7 years ago.
Okay. And before that, where were you?
In Chicago.
Oh, okay. So most of your life. Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much all your life.
I moved out
until
here.
You moved
now
out here.
Now I'm from here.
Now you're from here, of course. Because your soul belonged here.
It really did, and it's cold in Chicago right now.
Chicago's beautiful.
It is
to
beautiful.
Visit.
Oh, it's great.
I love
to
Chicago.
Visit, like New York, to
I'm
visit.
I'm going there again in April. Family, friends.
I love Chicago.
There.
I've been to Chicago a couple of times. I love Chicago. Chicago, you could literally be walking down the street in around this time of year, and it's snow, and you can fucking step into like half a waist length of snow without knowing it.
Yeah,
just like, and you're in there. You're like, what the fuck happened? Where's the warning? I mean, it gets snowy there.
It does, and if you haven't frozen to death before you get to that snow pile, the snow pile could keep you warm.
Right, right.
It might save your life.
You're right. You know, the thing, I am from the East Coast like you are, so you acclimate to it. You can acclimate to it fairly easy. You know, I'm not saying you want to live there, but like, for instance, 20 degrees... difference, 20 degrees to 30 degrees, right? That's a 10 degree difference.
Yeah.
California out here, I say this to a lot of people, that the difference is that there's a 30 or 40 degree difference in temperature out here in the desert. So it could be 80 and then it's 40 something and you're like, damn, it's cold. 40 something isn't cold, but relatively speaking, right?
And we have a joke in Chicago when it gets to be 50, when it gets all the way up to 50 in the winter, people put on their t-shirts and shorts.
Right.
When it gets down to 50 here, everyone's like, it's freezing cold.
No, that's exactly right. I was going to say New York.
Yeah.
New York, 45 degrees. I was there December 21st. It was 20 something and then it went up to like 40 something. 45 degrees felt like summer, I swear to God.
Yeah.
We're walking, it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. 45 degree here, forget it.
Yeah.
Rich comes out in his ski parka, fucking some of those, like, what do you call those hand warmers that you have to, like, crush to generate heat?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so Chicago, you're an artist. You're a visual artist. You're a painter.
I graduated from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago in the early 80s.
Damn.
And I've been an artist my whole life.
Right.
Yeah.
So what have you painted? Because I didn't look at any of your work.
Well, let's see.
Like, what types of paintings? You know, I'm a painter also. Abstract.
Yeah. I love color. I love intense color. Mm-hmm. And what I became when I moved out here was an abstract painter, which I, for some reason, didn't have as much permission to do in Chicago. Like, I hadn't given myself the permission. Mm-hmm. Moving out here helped me create a whole new picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a lot of paintings since I moved here. And I'm not creating paintings now because I'm doing this.
Sure. It's
but
very difficult.
I will go back and do it again because I love painting.
Yes. I haven't painted in a couple of years, but so when you say abstract, you basically have an image that you want to paint, whether it's an image that you've taken from a photograph or an image that you have in your head, and then you just, like, use different colors to, like, are your abstractions just blotches of colors, lines of colors? Are there actual images used to create stuff?
No, I wasn't using imagery. And when I first started painting, I used more collage painting techniques and more imagery. Mm-hmm. And I had done photography for a little while, too, or just photo techniques. But my last stuff was all intense, just color, intense energy, lines, you know, and I loved it. It had so much energy. I mean, I was painting energy. That's how I looked at it.
I get it.
You know, the energy of anything. And people would feel it. And I would get a lot of response to the work.
I get it. I mean, there's nothing like... Well, first of all, painting is such a... I don't know if I could use the word sacred, but it's such a spiritual thing. Let's call it that. It's a spiritual thing.
Yep.
And it's you against yourself, basically, right?
Yes.
stand-up comedy is the same way, by the way. Yeah. So it's you against yourself, although most people think, oh, the audience has to laugh. Man, you just have to be you. You have to connect to the audience. And then once you do that, it's, you know, it is what it is. And it's a flow of energy. We were talking about energy earlier, Rich and I. It's a flow of energy, complete flow of energy. Timing is energy. Right?
Yeah, you just have to have your space when you do that.
You have to know your space, right? Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of comedians are like, oh, the audience didn't laugh or whatever. Sometimes the joke may not work, and I'll get back to the painting, but sometimes the joke may not work, but how you react to the joke not working could be funnier than the joke when it would have worked. It just can be. And again, you're with the energy. You're flowing with the energy.
Yeah.
The painting, when I painted... And I said, it's you against yourself. When I painted, you know, you have to love the process as an artist. You have to love the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to say, don't judge this yet.
Yeah.
Because it's not finished, right?
Exactly.
But as an artist, you're judging it.
The whole time. Constantly.
There's a fight
going on in your head, and you're going, shut up.
The whole time.
Paint the freaking thing.
Just move forward. Just make it happen. It's definitely energy. I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of my paintings, but most people will look at my painting and they go, they're full of energy. They're full of energy. I'll show you some afterwards.
Okay.
Actually, Rich, you have your computer. Go on to Nestorius.com, I think. There's a couple of paintings there. So you're an artist. So were you successful as an artist, as a painter?
I worked for myself for a lot of years, being a painter, and also before then I was a costume and fashion designer, but I basically supported myself.
So when you say
I didn't make a lot of money, but I
sold paintings.
I sold paintings all the time. Like I was always trying to look for a gallery, and at some point in my career, I said, I'm tired of looking for someone else to approve of what I'm doing. And it was actually even before the internet became a bigger thing. Like, I mean, I graduated in 82, and I really was working a lot in the 90s.
Right.
You know, before I moved out here. And I just started learning how to promote myself.
Right.
I did shows.
Out here.
Well, in Chicago, too. Mm-hmm. I had lots of shows in Chicago. I had lots of clients, lots of people who bought my work.
So you
people
did...
who still write to me years later and say, I have this painting, and they'll send me a photo. And it's from like 10, 15 years ago.
But that's awesome.
I love
you
that.
You want that. You want that.
Oh, my
that.
God. It feels good.
Because here's the other aspect of being an artist and a painter, which is, okay, so you've put all your heart and soul into something.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the day, what's the currency? What is that thing worth? Right? What? $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, whatever. You get to $2,000, you'll never see those $2,000 again. They're gone, right? Yeah. You put them in the bank. They spend a painting. The biggest problem or obstacle I've always had with paintings is that I put so much of myself into it, right? That I don't just want to give it away, right? But you know, when I say give it away, somebody really has to love it.
Yes.
Is where I'm getting at. You have to really, it has to move you. So a lot of times, I mean, I've sold, I don't want to say hundreds, but I've sold a few paintings and I've always asked, why do you like the painting? That's what I like to ask. Like, why do you like the painting? I mean, like, why? And if it's good enough for me, then I'm cool with it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I asked that of the very first person who bought a painting for me. I was so surprised this guy bought the painting. It was a different style I did, and it was a painting called Career Choices for Catholic Girls. And
you could be the title.
You could be a bride or a nun. Mm-hmm. And there was this really subtle patterned background of sperm swimming around on gold with crucifixes. Mm-hmm. I was raised Catholic, obviously.
That's okay.
And I didn't, this guy who bought it, I was like, he was the last person I was thinking would buy it. And I said, why did you like, I was very respectful.
Sure.
I liked him.
Sure.
And he said, well, because it reminded me of growing up and in being in Catholic school and the nuns were mean and my mom was nice.
There
like
you
that
go.
Was the memory.
There
and I
you
thought,
go.
I have got to stop judging people.
which is part of which is part of being a good psychic, a clairvoyant, mm-hmm. someone who doesn't judge anybody, right?
Yes.
So, but we'll get into that a little bit, but that's not judging. That's one of the biggest I just talked about judging yourself as an artist, judging the work without it being finished, right? Then once it's finished, you're judging it, right? It's not that good. It's horrible. That even that is a judgment, right?
Exactly.
But I'll give you an example. So I did and it's perception. So I did this recording of 4 or 5 minutes of stand-up for Starz Network. It came out in December, right? December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it. The first thing, my stomach cringed, and I was like, oh, that was horrible. That was horrible. That's my judgment on it.
Right.
And then I watched it again maybe like 2 weeks later. Just sat down, objectively watched it, and I said, huh, that was an interesting set. You know what I mean? Because I've never done those jokes in that. And I had done this in May, and they aired it in December. But the judgment, which is very, it's an obstacle. It's an obstacle for spiritual growth, right?
It is, but we all, I mean, here's the thing. You're going to hit it. You're going to be in judgment. And one of the things I learned in my clairvoyant training, I'll never forget a teacher who said this, you know, I'm in judgment, and I'm just not in judgment over that. And he was making a joke.
I'm in judgment, but I'm just not in judgment over that.
I'm just not going to judge the fact that I'm in judgment, because that would be the thing we would do is I have to be like, oh, my God, I have to not judge anything.
Right.
I know better.
Right.
And then you go into judgment over that.
Sure.
So
I just did.
You got to have some amusement.
Right.
And just go, I'm not going to
Right. Awareness.
Go with
you
got to
have awareness, though.
Yes.
Awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So the reason I brought about the paintings, because that was one of the things that transformed your life from being a painter into a psychic, right? So
yes.
Someone bought a painting and the woman invited you to her institute and it was the psychic?
It was a school that used
Midwest.
To exist in Chicago called Midwest Psychic Institute.
Right.
That's actually where I studied.
Right.
But then when I became a teacher at this school and I was really, I just loved it after studying, going through the training. I realized I want to teach this.
Mm-hmm.
I just was so fascinated by the whole, like, how much it had helped me change and heal myself and grow. And I, in a very short time, and I liked the energy because it wasn't about having to follow a certain path or be a certain way. This is what we're doing. You're learning how to be a clairvoyant and heal yourself. So when I started teaching, the school, he ended that school and started a new school called Envision. That's what exists now in Chicago.
So that other school was turned into Envision.
It was basically destroyed, like ended.
Okay.
The old agreements and then a brand new school. Like he just created a whole new school.
In the same location?
In the same location.
So what happened with all the old energy that was in there?
Moved out.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did a clearing.
Well, basically, once you end the old agreement, spiritually speaking, you're ending. Everything's in agreement. It's a way of saying, okay, we're creating a new picture.
Right.
Everything is seen as a picture. We're creating a new picture. You have a picture for your show.
Right.
You know,
I'm developing my
picture
for
your
show.
Life. It's just.
Yeah.
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 You may not have the full picture yet, but you're always creating one.
Right.
And even when people don't think they have one, they have an unconscious picture.
Yes. Yes. But you're right. But then there's always that thing, right? That is preventing you from crossing over to that picture.
Well,
right?
You just keep working it.
So there's a picture, yeah. Right? And then there's like this little bit of sea, right? Like 2 or 3 inches in front of your face, right? And then you start walking towards it, and then the damn thing expands.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like a whole ocean. And you're like, you know what, man? Fuck that. I'm not walking that far. And then you turn back, and then, you know, that's the story of how I.
Well, that's resistance.
Yes.
You run into the resistance, and you let it take you over, which
right.
We all, human beings, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, getting through the resistance is how you kind of, you create, because mm-hmm. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary to create a big new picture and own it.
Right.
My picture is a Polaroid picture that hasn't developed fully.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It like the stuff just didn't, you know, it didn't come out.
The chemicals didn't get pressed out.
But you can create a new picture anytime.
You can throw that shit out and get another one. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't make those anymore.
Hey.
No, they don't. I used to play with those in art school.
They were great.
Let me do a little station identification. You're listening to the Astorias Public Radio Show live. This is Thursday, just in case you are waking out of a blackout and alcoholic stupor. It's Thursday. It's about 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That means it's about midnight, 12:30 a.m. In the East Coast for you folks. And you guys in between, do the math. We're live. So you can call 1-800-893-9562. We have the beautiful Chris Cahill, who happens to be a psychic. We probably will take a call or two if you guys are around. Towards the end of the show, I'd like to do a reading or two. So you're listening to us live. So anyway, back to the transformation. So you took a psychic meditation class. That was one of your first classes that you took at the school.
It's basically a class that taught me how to meditate mm-hmm. in a grounded way.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Explain
grounding.
That.
Grounding is it's like the technique I teach more than almost anything. But grounding is a way to make your body safe.
Uh-huh.
To connect yourself.
Safe.
When you ground, you can actually, we all ground to something.
Yep.
People ground to relationships, to the economy.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, how safe are you when the economy goes to hell?
Identity.
If you're grounded into it. Or some identity or things that fall apart
your
all the time.
Girlfriend.
When you have your car. When you have your very own grounding. And the technique is basically grounding, creating a connection from your body to the earth. It's mm-hmm. it's remembering you're also that you have a body
mm-hmm.
and that you belong on the earth. And the thing is, most of us do. We go into our minds and we forget about our bodies.
Yes.
Our bodies become less important, and then they feel lonely and they get pissed off.
And they go into stores and start stealing shit.
Well,
and then you get arrested.
Yeah.
And you're like, I wasn't doing that. I was just thinking about how fucked up my bank account is and I'm in handcuffs now.
Well, that's an extreme example, but it's been known to happen. So grounding, and that's what the psychic meditation class taught me, was how to work with my body, not against it. And that made it safe for me to turn on my clairvoyance, mm-hmm. which was already there.
Okay. Okay, have you ever meditated, Rich?
Yes.
Okay, you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and any kind of fancy way or basic way, or was it like a lot of incense and music or what? And I'm just asking.
No. I did this a lot as a kid, actually. I would find myself just sitting down, you know, in the corner of a room in my house, or you know, just. It's just weird. I just sit and I would think, and then I'd stop thinking, and I would just kind of sit and exist. And
I think that's called escaping in fantasy land.
That's cool.
No, I'm kidding.
You were getting your space.
Well, that's where it started off. No, really, that's where it started.
I'm kidding.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's like, oh, what would I like to do today? And then I just sit and I'd just stare off. And
Wonder
I'd,
Twin I'd powers
find
activate.
Myself waking up, you know, like whoa, you know, 10, 15 minutes later, like, you know, just blank out. And, you know, I liked doing it. And after a while, I would go and do that where I just felt like I needed to calm down or, you know, I mean, nobody knew what ADD was back in the day or whatever. You know, it's just like sometimes I needed to just chill because
I'm all
over the place. I felt great. You know,
you did a great thing.
I don't do it as often. You know, I don't think people do that. But I was just really listening to, I guess just listening to my body, I guess, or whatever, or the situation. It's like I would get there. I was like, okay, what am I going to do? What do I want to do? Do I want to go outside? And then you just kind of blank out, and you know, 10, 15 minutes later, you're like, oh, geez, wow. So,
you know what you did? You went out, and then you came back.
Yeah.
You went out and you got rid of the energy and then you came back. So, you got rid of the problem.
So I have meditated, but it wasn't like a conscious thing. But there would be times when I would just find a place.
But you haven't consciously meditated. You haven't consciously said, I'm getting up every day at 6 a.m. and I'm just going to, before I make my coffee, I'm just going to breathe in and just try to get rid of the thoughts in my head and just be centered. You've never done that before. I'm just, yes or no? No. Okay.
Hell, I don't do that.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, you know what? I take naps.
This is not a quiz.
No. I'm thinking about this. Don't worry. You're not locking me up. I'm trying to think about this because it's
you would
a
know
serious...
if you did that.
No. Well, I would know if I did that, but I would consider that calling it a nap.
That's fine.
Because I've known people who are like, I'm just going to meditate for a little while and this and that. And then I'm like, you mean take a nap? No, it's meditation.
I'm not talking about
that. You're taking a nap.
I'm not talking about that.
They think
the reason
meditating.
I was asking you if you meditated before is because I have, and I've meditated in different phases in different times in my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the early 90s, there's a guru called Sri Chinmoy. And so I just got into meditation through a group of his classes. And it was one of those things where I'd get up at 6 a.m, right? I had to be at work at 7:30. So if I was going to meditate first thing in the morning, it'd have to be, you know, and I made it a discipline, right? And what I found out was that my life was just that discipline centered my whole life.
Yeah.
Just centered my whole life. Which I think what you're talking about is grounding, yeah?
Yeah, grounding. And I practice grounded meditation.
Which
it's
I want to know.
A very specific kind of meditation. Where I will sit in a chair, you know, my preference is first thing in the morning, but it's not 6.
Right.
And I'll sit there, I will close my eyes, and I'm sitting, connecting myself to the earth, but also letting go. I'm releasing, I'm consciously letting go of yesterday, letting go of whatever's been going around in my head, just dropping it, not judging it, not fixing it.
So what does that mean?
It's not fixing or solving. It's
releasing. So you're just sitting there. You're acknowledging the thoughts and the feelings and all that stuff. And you're
I'm not
just
trying
like,
to shut them up. I'm saying there they are. They're going to come back again and again. That's okay. I don't care. I'm letting go of whatever is in my way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also more than that. I practice a whole set of techniques that I learned in that original class. One of them is called running energy, which is a way to really run neutral energies through you and clean out what's stuck. Our bodies get stuck with energy. We think we're carrying it in our egos and our minds and we're not. Our bodies handle it. It goes in our shoulders. Sure. It goes in our backs. Sure. It goes in our bellies. You know,
energy Ex-lax.
It's you know what? One of my teachers used to call it Drano. It's like Drano. It's like cleaning out all where everything is stuck, and it has an amazing effect over time.
So walk me through that technique, that first technique that you just talked about.
Grounding?
Not the grounding one, but you said
running energy.
Running energy.
Running energy, okay. Just imagine, okay, do you know about your energy system? You have channels in your body, you have chakra, which are energy centers.
I don't know the specifics, but yes.
Okay, so when you learn how to run energy, you learn how to basically work with neutral, earthy energy at a lower body level. So that's through your leg channels. Mm-hmm. And you work with a higher, more spiritual vibration through your upper channels. Mm-hmm. It's basically a way of bringing body and spirit together.
Mm-hmm.
It's psychic meditation because it's working with all of your energy centers. They contain your information. Mm. And so you start to actually open things up. Even if people don't believe this or they have no idea what the heck it's doing or they don't know about their energy system, when they start to learn to run energy, some pretty interesting things happen. And I've heard a lot of feedback over the years from this because I've been teaching this class for about 14 years now.
Right.
And it's pretty brilliant.
And you teach this class here in LA?
I do teach it here.
Privately or in a school?
Now I do it more privately. I used to have classes all over the place and I changed the way I do everything. So now I do stuff a lot through my online sites. You know, I have recorded meditations. I give readings, and I work with a lot of my clients.
What's your site?
My site, chriscahill.com, and I also have another one called psychiceveryday.com.
Okay. So if I wanted to take one of your classes on grounded meditation, I could do that through your website.
Yeah, you can go to my website. You can read about it. I write about the
awesome.
Techniques.
Awesome. You have a blog. I know you told me you have a blog.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So you took that psychic meditation class, which probably was not just one specific technique. It was probably a few techniques.
There were a number of techniques.
Right.
Neutrality, non-judgment was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember reading a book called Cultivating Compassion.
Ah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the guy's name, but I picked it up and it was very interesting. And he said that one of the best meditations you could do is to relieve or to cultivate compassion towards people. And he said, you want to start with people that you don't have any emotional attachment to.
Yes.
First, people that you don't know. And then work your way towards the people who you have a lot of resentment and energy, you know, aggression and, you know, whatever towards. So you don't want to start with, you know, your mom who you've been resentful for since you were three. But he was saying something and it was as simple as this. He said, as I want to be loved, so does he.
Yeah.
Want to be loved. That's simple. He's basically said that we're all spiritual beings at the fundamental level. We just want to be loved.
Yeah.
That's it.
Not very
complicated.
Love is a pretty powerful energy.
It is. It is.
And it's really hard when we're looking through the pain and the anger and the hurt and the feeling wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, and wronged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the point of all of this, in my view, is to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about what you just said there is that feeling wronged and you talked about as an artist, you know, painting and getting a gallery and giving your power away or not being able to just, you know, stand-up comedy is like, that's why I got into painting, because you have to get permission from somebody to create. I can't just do stand-up comedy by myself in my living room. I have to go through the channels and get an audience and all that other stuff. Whereas painting, I don't have to do that. I just get a canvas, paint, and have the place and just do it.
Artists used to have permission to be in galleries.
Right.
There was a whole different, and the same thing I would say for you as a stand-up comic. You can put a camera on yourself and you can have a YouTube channel and you can show people what you do and build an audience that way too.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing.
It's different performing live, I agree.
You can crash an open mic at some shitty coffee shop somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so we have a caller.
Oh, cool.
Yes. Hello? Hello, caller.
Hey, is this Burger Podcast?
Excuse me?
Is this the I Am Burger Podcast?
No, it's not. It's I Am Burger Podcast starts in about 25 minutes or so.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys.
That's okay. Thank you.
All right, yeah, totally.
Okay, bye. So, what was I going to say?
Wow, they really want to get on that show.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
They're in line.
I got to call now because the lines are going to be like just crazy.
No. It's all right. I mean, shit. I mean, she's early.
Yeah,
she's early.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna call early. You
most
don't know
of the people that call the shows that are on this channel, they'll call like three hours later. Like, oh no, that show is over.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give it to her. You know what I mean? I gotta give her a big up. I should have asked her if she wanted a reading, but I was going off into something, and I totally it had something what we were talking about.
We were talking about spiritual growth and people wanting to be loved.
Uh-huh. Oh, permission.
Yes,
permission, which is. The interesting thing about love and compassion is that at the fundamental level, you want to be acknowledged. So basically, you
validated.
Want validated. So you want your mother to acknowledge that she wronged you, or you want your neighbor. And you know, this is the thing about life. Many times, people are not capable of acknowledging. So then you walk around, which is what you're talking about. You walk around with this energy, with this blockage, right? But you. The individual who has this blockage has the power to release that.
Yeah.
Because you can acknowledge.
You're the only one who can. The only person who can heal you is yourself.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I never tell people I can heal them. That's not my job. What I will do is help facilitate healing.
Guide them as to how they can do it.
Make it safer for them to decide if they want to. But I'm not going to tell someone they have to do something.
Right.
I don't. Everyone's got their own way of growing.
Well, yeah, that's why most guys drink.
Yeah.
Why?
To forget.
Right.
I think women do it for that reason,
well,
too.
Well, yeah.
That's
why guys drink beer so regularly. Well, I mean, women more and more, you know, but they used to, women, a lot of times they, you know, for the longest time, they had to like carry that stuff around, you know, with them. Right. They weren't allowed to be so vocal and it was always the guys pushing his weight around and, yeah. you know, and being aggressive and this is what I, you know, and all that stuff. But now it's a little bit more, you know.
Well, it was a male
picture.
You've
come a long way, baby, you know. There's,
well, yeah. I think women stepping up and owning their space is really also giving men more permission to do it because men have really traditionally been squashed emotionally, and they're not. They're very emotional beings. Men.
They are. That's why they
men
drink.
Are brilliant.
So they just sit, they drink, they focus on the game.
Yeah, but men have not,
you know, and that's how they get it out. That's how
that's
they cleanse
how they
their
relax.
Shit.
That's
so they forget about it, and after a while, it gets pushed down, until they're like 45, 50 years old, and then, you know, it all like builds up into this big onion ball, and then they start trying to peel the onions away, you know, the layers of the onion away, and then they realize, oh, I've been an asshole all my life.
But men are not,
because they repress all that
stuff. are not conditioned to be emotional. Men, right. We are.
You're conditioned to not be.
Right.
You're
human. We're all emotional.
From the time you're little, that's not what a man does.
What are you crying? What are
exactly.
you crying for? What?
Yeah.
Stop crying, or I'm going to hit you in the head. I mean, this is what you get as a boy from the moment, from the very early moment that you get in touch.
That's a lot of emotion.
When you get in touch with your sensitivity as a man, as a young boy, the first thing you will get from your father is stop fucking crying. You want me to hit you in the head? What? And then your mother, if you're Puerto Rican mom, she'd be like, why are you crying? Come here. You want to cry? I'm going to hit you. It's just, and that's so you build on that. You know what I mean? Then you go into the schoolyard. You know, you're thinking your boy Rocco is going to be more sensitive and you're going to be able to cry to him. You're going to cry. He's going to punch you in the head. The rest of the other guys are going to punch you in the head.
What are you, gay?
Yeah, what are you, a fucking homo? And then you got to toughen up.
And then
you get calluses.
Drink a beer and watch the game to make sure everybody knows you're not gay.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy.
I'm watching football and drinking a beer. I'm not gay. No, it's just,
well, this is what happened.
I'm sitting here crying for you.
Well this is what I'm saying. So you, I read an interview of yours, and you said that from the time that you were a little girl, you'd walk into a room, and you can feel people's energies, and you can feel that some people needed to be healed or helped. I forgot the wording of it, but that you wanted to help them.
Yeah, I wanted to heal them all.
How was that? How did you come upon that awareness?
It wasn't a happy feeling, believe me. It was a very uncomfortable feeling, but it was just something that I felt and that I felt I was responsible for. That was another thing. I was the firstborn of a big family. I was always responsible.
Right.
But as a little kid, I just felt responsible. Like I wanted to make it better.
Uh-huh.
I was also like, you know, a control freak in training from a very young age.
Yeah.
But I remember having, like, knowing in grammar school, some of the kids who were really, you know, it just, they weren't happy or they were mean or, and I wanted to fix them. I didn't try. Thank God I didn't do that. But I felt it and I took that stuff on. Like I just knew that I was taking it on. At least I didn't know then, but now I do. I've certainly let it go. But.
Well, that's a lot of pressure on the little girl.
Well, and it was me, the healer, being out of control. And not knowing and not really having anyone who could communicate about that and being in a crazy family that was just a lot of activity, a lot going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not really talking about feelings.
Right.
You know,
it's good that you figured all this out because at some point you might have been one of those people that has like 100 cats in her house because can't stand, you know, I mean, we got it, you know. I mean,
well,
praise them. That's great that they're doing that and that's, you know, good work and all of that. But, you know, that's...
I'm a natural born rebel too, and I will tell you this: the Dead Kennedys and the Sex Pistols and the Ramones helped me get over
there
it.
There you go.
Honestly, I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
like, it was punk rock was a savior for me when I was in art school.
It balanced you out a little bit.
Really,
otherwise, if you're so emotional and you're so worried, I mean, then you pretty much
forsake
your own life for everyone else,
right?
And then you're not really living. That becomes your life to live. Oh, you become some cat lady, you know, or dog person, or something.
Well, fortunately, I was more selfish than that.
Yeah, no, I think you should be a little bit of self, because then you can actually, if you're healthy, then you can do something for other people.
Exactly.
Right?
You really heal the world when you heal yourself. You create a huge effect of healing when you do your own.
Because then people will talk to you because nobody wants to talk to the cat lady.
Right.
Well,
you can't heal anybody if you're, you know, defective. I mean, you got to take care of yourself first.
You got to know
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to touch a little bit on your Your last couple of episodes that I listened to, one was on value and one was on certainty. Mm-hmm. And those are...
Concepts. Spiritual concepts.
Spiritual concepts. That
vibrations
you, that
of energy.
That you use to do readings on people, yeah. per se, right?
Well, I might do it as a reading, but I might also just look for those energies. They might show up in different
Got
people's
it. Got it.
Pictures.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Concepts. Interesting. So
the
I
concept,
listen.
The concept. The concept.
Don't stop to the beat. Rock.
The concept.
I like it.
Concepts.
Get on the concepts.
Yeah. So
excellent.
So I was listening to one and when you speak of when you're doing your reading, you go, okay, so I see a picture of the picture that I'm seeing is this is how you put it.
Yeah.
And so you and the majority of your callers happen to be women, which is another when you talk about men, men should be doing this. Men should be, as a whole, should be trying to heal themselves spiritually. Trust me, if all the men in this world worked on healing themselves spiritually, we would not have all the excessive aggression that goes on here.
I agree.
And women too, but I'm just saying.
And if the women decide to step up and value themselves,
right.
the men will not need to be in the front anymore. It can
right.
be more of a balance.
Balance.
But I'll tell you, the school I came from in Chicago was started by a man. He's a brilliant healer and a brilliant teacher, and he has a lot of men at that school.
He
now.
Does? What's
oh,
his name?
Yes. His name is Kenneth Jones.
Kenneth Jones, big up! Hold on a second. Let me give
big
Kenneth.
Ken.
He's pretty cool.
Hold on a second.
But anyway.
Hold on a second. We can give Ken a big up because, you know.
A big up.
Big up, Kenneth! Big up, Kenneth Jones, you bomba clown! With their tidy whities coming up and meditating and getting whole with the spiritual axiom. Yeah.
Oh my God. So
you had the concept of value, and this woman, I listened to the, and it was good. And by the way, if you watch Chris's show, watch it because there's a video. And you can watch the show live. I meant to say you can go to SkidRowStudios.com. Every Thursday night, 9 to 10, there's a video thing and it's live. You can
completely
check out the videos. I can wait for you. I won't show you my nipples,
yeah.
but, you know, the other shows do that shit here on the station. But you can check out Chris, and Chris talks to you. She looks at the video and says hi, and she's talking to the listener and the caller that she's reading. And so one of them calls and she says, "Hi, Chris, how are you?" You're like, "Hi, how you doing? Are you aware of the concept that we're talking about?" She goes, "Yeah, values." and I'm thinking, and so Chris goes, "Well, I have a picture of him." Before you can say anything, I said, "Of dirty ashtrays thrown all over the place, cat shit, and Alcoholics Anonymous books that haven't been opened in about 5 years."
Oh, my God.
That's what I was looking
at. You
were
trashing my callers.
No. But, well, you were talking about judgment. You were talking about judgment.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That's me.
Ah.
That was me.
I got you.
I'm judging her.
I understand.
By her voice.
Yeah.
Right? So my thing is, how do you go... Because you clearly see something, right? You're clearly mm-hmm. picking up on some energy.
I'm looking at pictures.
Right.
So often you see me close my eyes.
Uh-huh.
That was how I was trained. It's more about a going within, but it's working on a clairvoyant level. I'm mm-hmm. looking at pictures. We all have, you see things all the time.
Sure.
What I trained to do is look at energy and not judge what I'm seeing.
Mm.
9 times out of 10, when you see a picture of something or with somebody, if you're not in judgment, you're seeing the actual energy.
Right.
So I'm looking for where's this person's spirit? Like, what's their picture mm-hmm, with mm-hmm, this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'll read it. And often it just makes no sense to me. And that's the hardest thing in the world, to read a picture that makes no sense. Because I'm judging it. And then when I learned very early on, no, don't judge it, just read it.
Read
and
it.
I can't even count the number of times, thousands over the years, where people are like, "That's exactly the picture. That's exactly what it looks like. That's exactly, you know." And these are some sometimes very skeptical people. So it's really fun.
So that's interesting, because as you're saying this, I'm seeing pictures.
Good. What are you seeing?
Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna give you why not everybody is a psychic, right?
Right.
Or not everybody's in touch with their psychic ability. Because as you're saying this, I'm seeing little pictures, but I'm not paying attention to them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not clear. They're just images, and they're just going like this. And I'm trying to focus on you,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm every day there are millions of those. I know they are because yeah. They come into my mind, and I have a story that goes on. And
you're a clairvoyant. Haven't trained it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm training myself on the voyant tip, not on the Claire. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so
Nestor's very he's very intuitive.
I'm very intuitive.
And very in touch with other people and his surroundings around him. I think you have to be. I sense
you are too.
Oh, I don't know.
You are. You're very sensitive.
I was picking up a lot of pictures, but I was imaging right now a D-Town burger.
Oh, you are.
Starving.
Oh, you are. Is that what it is?
D-Town, man.
He didn't eat anything because we have this ritual. We go to this burger joint down here that's like unreal. I don't know if you eat meat or not, but it's like one of these places. It's like we stumbled upon it, and it was like, oh my God. The best burger.
That's great.
But anyway, so the picture. So I'm understanding where you're coming from now. Not mm-hmm. judging those, just taking them in. Just letting them flow into you so you can
I'm
present
reading them.
Right.
I'm specifically, and I'm also being an inspector, like a detective.
Got it.
Because I'm looking. I'm not, Miss Cleo would talk about what the spirits tell her. She was being a medium.
Right.
I'm not reading as a medium.
Right.
I'm reading as a clairvoyant.
Right, right, right.
I'm being very proactive.
Got
I'm
it.
Looking at the pictures, not judging and seeing. I'm like, what is this? Where does this go? And that's what I'm asking when I'm looking.
Right. You're not letting somebody else tell you what you're seeing. You're like, don't tell me what the fuck to do. I know what I see here, man. I see many, many pictures. Spiritual bullshit. I know my own, man.
Exactly.
So, all right. Fantastic. So what was interesting is that you saw me. You thought I was judging your viewers, but I'm seriously, I'm sitting there. I'm aware of my thoughts. That's one thing. I'm always constantly aware of my thoughts. And that was one of the things. That's where I get my sense of humor, by the way.
Right.
And how I can put it in paper to make it a joke because I'm watching my thoughts, my whacked out thoughts. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that was a whacked out moment. I'm listening to your show. And as this woman's calling, I'm thinking, she's seen a picture. I saw this picture. You know what I mean? Based
and
on my judgment.
You
of
may
her.
Not be wrong. I'm telling you. You may not be.
But that's not the picture. That's not the picture
like
you were seeing.
No.
Olive.
Which is great.
Because I was looking at a specific thing. I was reading everybody according to their value pictures
so
where
Chris,
they're working.
So Chris is dealing with the valuable ones, not the ones that are fucking bankrupt and the ones that have been burnt and collected moss and shit like that. I was picking up on those. Chris was like, I see those dirty ashtrays. I'm going to focus on this picture right here. The picture of your relationship right now, what I'm seeing is that you need to kick that lazy ass boyfriend of yours out of the house. You need to grow. You need to grow as a woman. You need to be independent. Okay. So you can buy your own cigarettes. Okay.
Oh
That's what
God.
You need to be doing. All right. Alcohol only costs $6.99 a bottle. You don't need him. All right. You feel me? You follow me? Anyway, that's fucked up.
You're hilarious.
But that's my thing. All right. So. But I really like.
I'm not looking for anyone to work with me in my job.
He's auditioning
That's
for your show.
He's auditioning.
So there's no opening?
Sorry.
Sorry, there's no opening?
Have a multi-level thing. Essentially what you're doing is you're undressing the situation. You're looking through the clothes or the curtain of what we normal people will hear, and you're spiritually going through that. You know, we're just we stop right at hi, how you doing? Got a psycho.
Oh, she's yeah.
You know, and then you think of, you know.
No, I think it's awesome.
So, but and that's amazing that you can tap into and be accurate.
So you were talking
if
about
I judge, I can't see it.
Right, and so...
You were talking about value and certainty. I thought they were two brilliant shows. I really
Thank
do.
Thank you.
Because value is... We put value on things and we measure our own value based on other things outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's how we walk around in this earth and how we react and relate to other people.
Yeah.
You know? And certainty, I was really into that. So briefly explain to me... value and certainty when you use them.
Well, these are just some of the I use many different.
Mm-hmm.
But value, about a few years ago, I started writing about, and it was just after the economy really hit the fan,
mm-hmm.
and 2010, 2009 were pretty dire. you know, in 2010, really, I just, it was just like in the, and that's when I started realizing more and more and more, the more people I read, what, you know, my business just goes up a little bit in times like that. Cause people are like, what do I do? And I just kept seeing over and over, everyone had to blow a picture. Blowing a picture means you're pulling your energy out of a false picture or a picture that doesn't work anymore. And the picture was that they didn't have any value because they couldn't get a job and they didn't have money or they lost something or they had been basing their value on something false. Mm. And I started looking at it as this picture of this is a value revolution. Mm. Actually, the revolution we're in that's an evolution on this planet now is about value. Mm. What do we value? Like, how do we value ourselves and our relationships and what's really important? Is it all that shit we buy? Or is it maybe having a clean earth? You know? I mean, we got to wake up.
Yeah.
So that's what
I say. What do you value? What do you value?
What I value?
Not you per se, but I'm saying that's a question. Yeah, but yeah, what do you value?
Me personally?
Yeah. Why not? One thing,
two things. All right, I'll tell you. I value my marriage and my husband. He is amazing. I've been married for 20 years.
Yeah, me too.
And I, to my husband?
No. But
I didn't know.
Same thing.
I'm kidding. And I value, I you know, I value the energy of spirit, of love. You know, to me that's, I love doing this. Mm-hmm. I really love doing what I do. I'm very passionate about it.
I see that. I see that.
I'm very grateful.
So,
So
if you were, would you want to do a reading right now?
I can do a reading.
Rich and myself, or myself and Rich.
Well, yeah, we don't have a lot of time, but I can definitely
do
it.
Well, let's do one.
Do Nestor.
Let's do a reading on value.
All right. I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do, Nestor?
Do what you want.
I'm going to do the picture, but what I want to do is do a quick little reading on how you're changing the value of your show.
Love it.
Okay.
Love it.
That's a big one. So it'll just take me a moment here. I'm going to close my eyes for a little. I tend to do that when I'm giving a reading.
Take your time.
And the picture I see is, it starts off with you sitting at this little, tiny little fishing hole with a, like a bamboo pole with a, you know, a string, and you're trying to catch something in this little teeny tiny fishing hole. And you're like, all of a sudden, you just get bored. There's this just getting bored with, it's not deep enough. At first it was interesting. It was nice to just sit there and do this. And then you kept looking over at this other one where there are all these people. And it's not about leaving, you know, this place, Skid Row. That's not how I see it. I see it as you stepped away from sort of just being at your own little fishing hole to going to walking over to where there are all these people. And they're not all necessarily talking to each other, but there's a community. It's like a community energy, a community feeling. And I see this picture of you valuing, even though you already do, but it's like somehow you valuing community more, or that interaction or intimacy, communication. Rather than at people, it's more like with people. Somehow there's a valuing of being with people. Because you do value people, and you have a lot of affinity for human interaction. But I see that with your show and these value pictures, there's something about you stepping up in terms of your communication and the being with people. So I know you were talking about having more interviews, but it looks like it's something else too, and I'm not sure what. I don't know how that is. I mean, you're creative. You'll come up with a way. It looks like your value picture looks like it's kind of stepping away from the small picture and going to a bigger one.
Got it.
Bigger picture.
Got it. The good thing is this is recorded, so I can always go back and
you
listen to it.
You can always go back
again.
And listen.
So how about doing a reading on certainty?
For you?
Yeah.
Oh, why not? Yeah.
Because we got two. Why not?
Two for one.
Yeah.
This picture.
Those are two big. Those are huge. Those are two huge. Yeah.
The picture with certainty is your skeet shooting. And, you know, it's not, you're not shooting actual birds or anything. No birds were harmed in this reading. Clay pigeons. Exactly. You're skeet shooting. Like you're.
Oh, yeah.
And I just see, like, somebody off is, you know, sort of, you're going, okay. And then they're letting another one out. And you're going, you know, and you're getting better. And this is your certainty picture. It looks like you used to only hit, like, one out of every 20. And now you're up to, like, one out of every four. Like, there's this. You're getting more certain. It looks like what you decided to do was let go of all. There's a certain amount of overthinking it that you're releasing, kind of overanalyzing and overthinking that you're starting to let go of. And actually, part of it is I see your spirit standing outside you, yelling at you, saying, "Stop thinking so much."
Why are you crying? Why are you crying? You want me to hit you in the head? You want me to tell you why you're crying?
Your dad's spirit's like coming around. He's haunting you.
You know what, Chris? The show is almost over.
Yeah.
And it has literally dissipated effortlessly, as if It was 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And so you're going to have to be on the show again at some point.
I'd love to.
I really, really, really enjoyed conversing with you on this topic.
Thank you. Me too.
I didn't even get like halfway through of any like, but we got through some interesting things.
But you had an outline.
You know what?
In life, that you did.
In life, it's about.
I always have one.
Well, in life, it's about being prepared. That doesn't mean that it's going to happen the way you had it prepared. See, my way of operating many times is that I don't prepare because I just go on my crazy energy that I'm going to be able to do it anyway, which basically interferes with the actual creativity then. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. So that's part of what I've been trying to do is prepare more for this. Anyway, we're coming to a close. What's your website again?
ChrisCahill.com.
And your other website?
PsychicEveryday.com.
Mm-hmm. And we can go to your websites and check out your blog and take some of your classes and get more in tune and in touch.
Hello. Yeah.
Or say hello. Yeah. And Rich, we're going to go to D-Town Burger after this.
Oh, yeah.
And for all y'all D-Town motherfuckers
Burger,
out there.
Every day.
And for all y'all motherfuckers out there in the hair, you don't stop everywhere. SkidRowStudios.com every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check us out on iTunes. If you care to, follow us on Facebook. Sign up on Twitter. I don't know what the hell you're going to do there, but, you know, do it because that's what all the young cats are doing. You know what I'm saying? We out.
It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit.